Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air on booster shots. A key FDA panel voting unanimously in favor of Moderna booster shots for Americans 65 and older, 18 and older, if you have a medical condition or a job that puts you at higher risk. How soon before the official green light? When will they roll out? Next up, Johnson & Johnson, their booster. What happens on that tomorrow? And what we're learning tonight about mixing and matching the shots. Dr. Jha standing by to answer your questions. Also, the breaking news here in New York City late today in a case that made national headlines. The college student murdered in a city park, the violent attack on the stairs. Tonight, the sentence for one of the teenagers who pleaded guilty, 14 at the time of the attack. And the new and difficult images of Tessa Major's final moments, her father leaving the courtroom, unable to watch. Tonight, thousands of American workers on strike. Workers at John Deere arguing if the company is making more, we deserve better pay. Thousands striking at other companies, too, including Kellogg. And now Hollywood bracing for a potential walkout, too. Tonight, what's behind those empty shelves and driving prices up in this country? The supply chain gridlock on both coasts. And we ask, what's inside those containers still unopened? It's eye-opening what this means in the weeks ahead and for Christmas. Overseas tonight, the new developments after that deadly terror rampage in Norway. The bow and arrow attack, several dead, and what we've now learned about the suspect. In Washington, the January 6th panel moves to recommend Steve Bannon face criminal contempt charges after refusing to appear before the committee. His lawyer indicating it's because former President Trump doesn't want him to. News tonight about the South Carolina attorney whose wife and son were murdered. Authorities then accusing him of trying to orchestrate his own death. Tonight, why he's now under arrest. Remembering a major figure in Major League Baseball. And Made in America is back tonight, just in time for Halloween.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. We have several developing stories as we come on the air. The case here in New York City that made national news. The college student murdered in the park. Her father had to leave the courtroom today. The sentencing. But we are going to begin tonight with the pandemic in this country and a major new step. An FDA advisory panel today voting unanimously for Moderna's booster shot. It's now on a path to emergency authorization. That same panel takes up the Johnson & Johnson booster tomorrow. Now, this Moderna booster shot discussed today will be for people 65 and older and for those 18 and older with medical conditions or jobs that put them at higher risk. It would be a third Moderna shot 6 months after the first two. And this Moderna booster would be half the dose of the first two. That same panel set to discuss that Johnson & Johnson booster tomorrow, as well as this notion of mixing and matching different vaccines. And the decision on the Pfizer vaccine for children 5 to 11 years old likely coming in weeks. And President Biden just today saying the government is ready with doses for the 28 million children who would be eligible. But first tonight, the boosters, what we learned today on Moderna, and ABC's Whit Johnson leading us off.
Tonight, booster shots for millions of Americans who got the Moderna vaccine, now a major step closer to authorization.
We do have a unanimous 19 out of 19 yes votes, and that concludes the voting portion.
A key FDA panel voting unanimously to recommend that third shot 6 months after the second dose for anyone 65 and older, 18 and older at high risk from an underlying health condition, or 18 and older whose job may put them at greater risk for exposure to the virus. If the full FDA and CDC sign off next week, Moderna booster shots would roll out to the same groups now eligible for the Pfizer boosters.
Given that Pfizer blazed a trail with its booster, it made sense that Moderna would follow suit. There were no safety signals involved. And what we're trying to do is bring your immunity up to the point when you were first vaccinated. And essentially, these boosters will do that trick.
The Moderna booster would be only a half dose after data indicated that was enough to restore protection. Overall, the Moderna vaccine has remained highly effective against severe illness and hospitalization, showing less waning over time than its counterparts Pfizer and J&J. Still, Moderna says its booster shot, given at least 6 months after the second dose, increased protective antibodies by 15-fold 1 month later. Moderna also finding side effects from its booster were similar to those after first and second doses. But today, some panel members arguing the main focus should be on getting the 66 million eligible unvaccinated Americans their first shot.
The people who are in the ICU aren't there because they haven't gotten a third dose. They're there because they haven't gotten any dose.
Tomorrow, the panel will review the Johnson & Johnson booster, along with data on the effectiveness of mixing vaccines. An NIH study also finding there could be an extra benefit for people who got the J&J vaccine to get a boost from Pfizer or Moderna.
I think these early studies are pointing to the potential value of mixing and matching, but it's likely too early, and we're going to really need more data to see sort of full recommendations.
And soon, 28 million children between the ages of 5 and 11 could be eligible for their first vaccine shot from Pfizer as early as November 3rd. Today, President Biden promising those doses will be ready to go.
If authorized, we are ready. We have purchased enough vaccines for all children between the ages of 5 and 11 in the United States.
And so let's get right to Whit Johnson tonight with this key panel, unanimous on Moderna boosters today. So this moves forward. And now this same panel tomorrow examines the Johnson & Johnson booster and also looks at this notion of mixing and matching vaccines, whether that might be effective.
David, that panel will then vote on whether the data is strong enough to authorize the Johnson & Johnson booster shots. But this discussion of mixing and matching vaccines and whether it's effective will also be getting a lot of attention. Right now, there is not a vote scheduled on that, but the early data is promising. It's a big debate, and we expect to hear a lot more in the coming days. David?
All right, Whit Johnson leading us off tonight. Whit, thank you. I know many questions at home with millions of Americans who got Moderna and Johnson & Johnson still waiting on these boosters. Let's get right to Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health. Dr. Jha, always great to have you here. You know, it seems this blueprint for the Moderna boosters today recommended by this panel, very similar to what we saw with the Pfizer booster, 65 and older first, along with 18 and older if you have a health condition or a job that puts you at higher risk. One thing I thought was interesting, though, today, Moderna's booster will be given as a half dose, 50 micrograms. That's compared to 100 micrograms in their first two shots. So why a half shot of Moderna for a booster when we were getting a full shot of Pfizer for a booster? Was Moderna a more powerful shot to begin with?
Yeah, so David, thanks for having me back. First of all, yes, they absolutely followed the same blueprint, same groups of individuals, high-risk people getting the booster. And the half dose is because, in fact, the original dose of Moderna is more powerful than the original dose of Pfizer. So the evidence says you really only need a half dose to get the benefits of the booster.
What the data shows so far. I know they're going to take up this idea of mixing and matching. We heard it from Whit there a moment ago. I don't want our viewers who got the Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccine to think we've forgotten them, because the J&J booster will be discussed tomorrow along with this idea of mixing and matching. So what do you suspect happens on both fronts?
Yeah, so first of all, there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to hear about an authorization for a booster for J&J. I think it's clearly necessary, and I'd be very surprised if that didn't happen. There is some evidence that mixing and matching may be beneficial for Johnson & Johnson recipients. We will hear what the panel has to say. I suspect they may recommend a mixing and matching strategy for J&J. We'll have to see what the panel really decides.
All right, Dr. Jha, you'll be watching it closely right here with us. Our thanks to you again tonight. We're going to move now to that news late today here in New York City, the case that made national headlines, the college student murdered in a city park. One of the alleged attackers, 14 years old at the time, pleading guilty and sentenced tonight. And there was a moment in the courtroom today, the new and difficult images of Tessa Major's final moments struggling up those stairs, her father leaving the courtroom. Here's ABC's Ariel Reshef.
She was the Barnard College freshman whose murder in a New York City park sent shockwaves throughout the country. Tonight, one of the teens involved in the 2019 fatal stabbing of Tessa Majors receiving a maximum sentence. Luciano Lewis pleading guilty to second-degree murder and first-degree robbery, sentenced to 9 years to life. This gut-wrenching security camera video capturing Majors' final moments playing out in court today. Here, the 18-year-old seen staggering up the stairs of Morningside Park before collapsing in front of a guard station. She died minutes later. Lewis, now 16, was just 14 at the time. Prosecutors say he and two other teens robbed and ruthlessly attacked Majors just steps from campus. Today, the judge saying the defendant was and is extremely young. He has his whole life ahead of him, but Tessa Majors does not. Major's father, overcome with emotion, sobbing audibly as prosecutors read a family statement. The hopes and dreams we had for our daughter Tess came to an end. Her family misses her every day. Our heart aches. Our grief is profound. David, a second teen pleaded guilty in family court and is now serving his sentence. A third teen who was accused of wielding the knife that killed Tessa Majors is awaiting trial. David.
Ariel Reshef live here in New York. Ariel, thank you. Now to American workers, and tonight the major strike underway. 10,000 John Deere workers on the picket line arguing that while company profits and CEO pay have soared, their pay increases have not kept up. Thousands of workers also striking at Kellogg, Kaiser Hospitals, and Hollywood now bracing for a potential walkout too. ABC senior national correspondent Terry Moran in Illinois tonight.
Tonight, more than 10,000 workers at John Deere are on the picket lines in Iowa, Illinois, and Kansas. On strike for the first time in 35 years at Deere. They're demanding better pay, secure pensions, what they call a fair share of a hugely profitable American company.
What's at stake here? Why are you guys out here?
The raise that was offered to us wasn't what we were expecting. And the company wants to eliminate pensions for the people that hire after us.
Workers argue that what John Deere is offering them now is nowhere near enough, as John Deere's profits grew by 61% in recent years, and their CEO's salary grew by 160% during the pandemic.
We work and work, and it's time. It's time to get what we deserve.
After weeks of negotiations, the workers at John Deere voted overwhelmingly to reject a contract that their own union, the United Auto Workers, had negotiated with management.
There was a pretty blatant attack on our benefits.
The union is standing behind its decision to turn down the deal, which offered a 5% raise in the first year, not what the workers expected, at a company that estimates it will make $5.9 billion in profits in 2021. Nationwide, more and more workers are flexing their collective muscles. Last week, 1,400 Kellogg cereal workers launched strikes in Tennessee, Nebraska, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. In California and Oregon, 24,000 nurses and other healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente voted to authorize a strike over pay and better working conditions. And soon, Hollywood may see a walkout. Roughly 60,000 film and TV workers are set to go on strike on Monday. Tonight, the women and men here on the picket line, the people who build those iconic green John Deere farm vehicles, they're bracing for a long strike.
Terry's live outside John Deere headquarters tonight. Where do negotiations stand, Terry?
Well, David, John Deere in a statement says it's committed to reaching a favorable outcome from everyone, but there's no word on when negotiations might resume. Meanwhile, on these picket lines, the emotions are so intense, it feels like after years of frustration, a dam is bursting here and around the country. David?
Terry Moran from Illinois tonight. Terry, thank you. Next this evening to the supply chain crisis, we've seen the empty shelves, prices inching up, and the critical logjam at ports on both coasts. Look at this image tonight. 62 cargo ships waiting to dock at the port of Los Angeles today. Stacks of containers already there waiting for trucks to deliver what's inside across the country. Our correspondent today asking what's inside those unopened containers, and if it hasn't come off the ship yet, does it have any chance of being in the store for Christmas? The answer put this all in perspective. Kaylee Hartung at the Port of Los Angeles tonight.
Tonight, with the holidays approaching fast, the all-out push to get goods off those backlogged ships and onto shelves, with the Port of Los Angeles now running operations around the clock. Officials know the clock is ticking.
We're only 4.5 weeks away from Black Friday. We've got a lot of work ahead of us.
What is sitting in all these containers behind us?
Everything.
Everything you can imagine.
Toilet paper. Your shirts, your shoes.
Your Peloton bike.
Your bikes, right?
Computers.
Air computers.
Everything everybody's waiting for.
Longshoremen telling me some of these containers have been sitting here for 6 months, with a shortage of truck drivers to get the goods on the highway and into stores. It's not just making things harder to find, it's making them more expensive. This year has already seen record-breaking price jumps for products like children's shoes, up nearly 12%, and furniture, up more than 11%.
Quite simply, where is the breakdown?
The breakdown is in the supply chain in general.
The supply chain disrupted by the pandemic, the cost of shipping containers to move goods from Asia to the U.S. soaring, plus a labor shortage and outdated infrastructure, all contributing to this logjam. We followed the supply chain from the port to the warehouse. And as for those hopes of those goods getting there in time for the holidays,
what is that cutoff?
It was probably realistically about a month ago.
David, to help get everything from toys to appliances and furniture moving, some big name retailers are saying they're ready to start doing more work overnight to move their cargo. David.
Yeah, they're going to have to. Kaylee Hartung tonight. Kaylee, thank you. And overseas tonight into that deadly rampage in Norway, a bow and arrow attack. And authorities now say tonight it appears to have been an act of terror. Here's our foreign correspondent, James Longman.
The accused killer identified tonight after that horrific bow and arrow rampage targeting victims at random. Espen Andersen Broughton, a 37-year-old Danish citizen who lived in the town south of the Norwegian capital where five people died. Four women and a man, all between 50 and 70 years old. Local media reporting some were found murdered inside homes. Police now saying this appears to be a terrorist act and that Broughton had been flagged for radicalization.
The act itself looks like a terror act, but we do not know what is the motivation.
Investigators say Broughton is a Muslim convert with a history of drug abuse and mental health issues. The attack began at this supermarket, and police say Broughton started firing off arrows, one seen lodged in this wall. I saw a man walking with an arrow in his back, this man says. Police say they rushed to the scene and confronted Broughton, but he escaped, and that they finally arrested him on the street about 30 minutes later.
Broughton is being held on preliminary charges and he'll face a custody hearing tomorrow. David?
James Longman with us tonight. Thank you, James. Back here at home, and tonight the January 6th panel investigating what led to the attack on the Capitol, now moving to recommend Steve Bannon face criminal contempt charges for not showing up. Here's Jonathan Carl.
The House committee investigating the January 6th riot today said it will try to put Steve Bannon behind bars if he refuses to testify, declaring they, quote, will not tolerate defiance of our subpoenas, asking the Justice Department to charge Bannon with criminal contempt of Congress. Bannon's lawyer says he will not be producing documents or testifying because former President Donald Trump, citing executive privilege, has directed him not to. Trump's attempt to stymie the investigation comes as he demands that Republicans make his baseless claims about 2020 election fraud their central issue, saying it's, quote, the single most important thing for Republicans to do. He issued a statement warning if the bogus claims are not solved, Republicans will not be voting in 22 or 24.
The battle over Bannon's testimony is about more than Bannon. It will have big implications for others close to Trump who the committee wants to testify. David?
John Carl with us again tonight. Thank you, John. When we come back, news tonight about the South Carolina attorney whose wife and son were murdered, why he's now under arrest tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much hung up.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Major developments tonight involving the South Carolina attorney whose wife and son were murdered. Authorities then accusing him of trying to orchestrate his own death. Alec Murdoch arrested after leaving a drug rehab facility in Orlando today. Prosecutors say, quote, he misappropriated more than $4 million in settlement money for the death of his housekeeper. His lawyer revealing he's a person of interest in the deaths of his wife and son. And today, real estate heir Robert Durst sentenced to life in prison without parole in Los Angeles. Durst convicted of killing best friend Susan Berman more than 20 years ago. Prosecutors say he shot Berman to keep her from talking to police about the reopened investigation into the 1982 disappearance of his wife. The body of Kathy Durst has never been found. To the index tonight, a beloved former baseball player and longtime broadcaster Ray Fosse has died after a long battle with cancer. The catcher famously bowled over by Pete Rose during the 1970 All-Star Game, fracturing and separating his shoulder. He played 12 seasons in the majors, spent 36 years as an Oakland A's broadcaster. Ray Fosse was 74. The search for the great pumpkin made in America. Tonight, Made in America is back. And we heard from so many farmers in every corner of this country who want you to know, despite the shortage headlines, at so many farms, their pumpkins are ready.
I wanted to show you the great pumpkin harvest at Amazing Acres.
In Sparta, Tennessee, the Amazing Acres of Fun Farm, 14 acres of pumpkins.
Hi, David.
Susanna Underwood at Underwood Family Farms in Ventura County, California.
We're so excited to have our community come to our farm and select their own pumpkins. Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Just today, the Fajardo family picking out theirs.
Doing our third annual American tradition, getting our family pumpkin.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, David.
Families at the Pumpkin Town Pumpkin Patch. The farm grateful.
We are grateful for our customers that choose to shop locally and support Made in America.
In Thornton, Colorado, what they call Maze in the City.
We're really excited to just be able to provide a really fun, family-friendly location for you to come out.
In Rushville, Missouri, the Johnson family coming to Crockett Farms for 10 years.
We just have a blast looking at all of them and picking out our favorite ones.
Co-owner Andrea Crockett tonight saying, no shortage here.
We have a 20-acre pumpkin patch, and we raise all of our own, so we don't have to worry about getting them shipped. We have white, we have orange, we have green, we have bumpy, we have smooth.
Well, back in California tonight.
Hi, David.
Shauna Anderson at Orchard Nursery. She wasn't shy with her Made in America pitch.
We have pumpkins galore. We're open 5 days a week, Thursday through Monday, 9 to 5. Thank you.
We love the pitch, Shauna. Let's support our farmers, and I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.